Ladies and gentlemen, Mike has left the building. Mike has left the building. This is AI Mike now.
That's right. Chat GPT. We have a Lions thing I want to do here. And I'm going to blame Dave Burkett. That's my lead. You are not allowed to bring slander to this radio program. And if you want to slander anyone, it's Dave Burkett. Hopes have never been higher for this football team. A year ago, I sat here pounding the table. We're winning this division. We're winning a home playoff game. They exceeded that. Expectations now are Super Bowl. I listened to the morning show. You have people calling in who have already booked rooms in New Orleans. You have people who have already made the financial commitment to go to the Super Bowl. People are in a different dimension. So Dave Burkett, who's amongst the best beat writers in the league and a friend of the show, friend of the station, Dave Burkett had a stat today, Rico.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, stats, serious sports, stats. Let me give that to you. For a team.
I haven't heard that in a while.
I know how. Literally and figuratively. The point I make is.
Oh, he's on his way.
The point I make is this. Everybody calm down. For teams like the Lions, who were a runner-up in the NFC, no runner-up in the NFC has gone on to win the Super Bowl in 30 years. The Green Bay Packers of 1995 are the last team to lose an NFC title game and bounce back to win the Super Bowl the next year. So here's my question. What is your reaction to the stat? Is there some meaning to it? Is there no meaning? Because I love sports because things like this, trends and stats and breaking and making history, mm-hmm. It stopped me because I went, wait a minute, you mean to tell me? No team. And you start thinking and you go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And by the way, how many teams? Now, I don't have this stat. How many teams have simply lost the NFC title game and even got back to it the next year?
That I don't know, Mike. But, yeah, stats are interesting, man. And here's what happens. When it's a stat in your favor, you believe in it and you, like, yes, and you use that for your argument. But when it's not in your favor, it's kind of like a preseason poll. This is just all speculation. But according to that stat, they haven't won the Super Bowl. It means they could still get there. They just won't win the Super Bowl because the other stat is, and this may make Lions fans feel better and not to, you know, just kind of piggyback on this. Losing the Super Bowl, going to Super Bowl and losing, you don't make it back the next year.
That one I know. That's true.
Yeah. So
nice knowing the Niners. 248-539-9797. So
set up for the Giants.
Yeah, right. Yeah, also a fun stat. Teams on government assistance haven't won a Super Bowl ever. Giant dude, I'm telling you right now, Hard Knocks, I want to shoot my television.
Are you watching it?
I hate my football team, and I hate these clown-ass amateurs. I actually have grown to hate Brian Daboll. Hate. No one cares. We'll move on. I want to know if you guys value what Burkett said. Training camp opens today. No NFC team who has lost the NFC title game has come back to win the Super Bowl the next year in 30 years.
See, I think a lot of times the stats work because they're numbers. They're objective. They don't care about your team. It just tells you this is what history says. This is what the data says about you. It's like the stat, you know, if you start off 0-2, your chances of making the playoffs are tremendously diminished.
Yes.
And it's like, well, no, we're going to be different. Well, actually, you weren't.
I think here's what Burkett's stat says. I think it's a testament to it's hard to be lucky back-to-back years. It takes luck to win a Super Bowl. I think it's luck to avoid injuries. True or false, did the Lions largely avoid catastrophe last year? Yes. Aiden didn't miss time. Gibbs didn't miss time. Amon-Ra played hurt, and you'd never know.
No. Goff.
Goff didn't get hurt. Sewell didn't get hurt. Your O-line. I mean, God help us. We had an international incident. It was a UN summit that Jonah Jackson got hurt.
And here's the thing. And every time he got hurt, you lost the game. When all five were there, you won every game.
Yeah.
Now was missing. Those were all of your losses last year.
Yeah. Now, of course, no one says there are no injuries. I'm saying to get to a Super Bowl, you have to avoid catastrophic injury. I mean, obviously, my team's terrible. They're opening training camp. They've lost two O-linemen already. Evan Neal's on the PUP, and Ala Umanir or whatever, the Raiders guy they signed, got cut in half at the end of practice. So basically, I mean, the Giants are right back to where they are. It's this idea.
Number one pick of the draft?
Don't even start. Yeah, it's fine. Carson Beck, come on down. I think that's what Burkett's stat says, is that if you have this great year, and the Lions did have a great year, it is very hard to control the uncontrollable. You're playing a game that's currency is violence. It's elimination. I think it's very difficult to go back to back. And look, I'm not going to do this coal in the stocking thing. I think the Lions are going to be good, but you don't hear me talking about 13, 14, 15 wins. You don't hear me talking about the Super Bowl. I can say it's Super Bowl or bust, but if I had to place a bet on the Lions getting to the Super Bowl or not, I'm probably betting against it. Why? Nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with the sport and what I know about it and how unfair the game is. How the Lions could be awesome, and then it's the wrong thing at the wrong time, or the wrong injury at the wrong moment, or just obscene bad luck, signed Saints-Rams PI call.
I was about to say, or the referee not saying your guy was eligible. You had nothing to do with that. You drew up the right play, but they screwed it up.
Do I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC? Yes. But the minute these games begin, or heaven forbid, the minute the preseason starts, all of what you see on paper is out the window. So I think Burkett's stat has value based on the history of the game and the amount of brutal uncontrollables. No, I don't think because the stat exists, you're not going. That's not it. It's about what the stat says and why it's so effing difficult to do it. How many Hall of Fame players have never won a Super Bowl? How many guys got to a title game one time and never got back?
Yeah.
Are you built to do it? Yes. Do I think you've helped your organizational depth? Yes. But I do respect that stat. And all I'm going to tell you is I have a higher degree of respect for the task ahead than I think you as fans do. I think you guys are still high on your own supply, and rightfully so. You've been given nothing for so long. But I don't think you understand how hard this is going to be. And they might get it done, but it's going to take everything. So I thought it was an interesting note on the opening of training camp to talk in those terms.
Yeah, because when you look at it, man, it's sobering because you want to think, well, that's not going to be us. But Mike, you're right. It really does boil down to a little bit of luck. And in the end, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will still be standing there saying hi, you know, and you got to have everything happen because, yeah, I know most people don't want, but like Drake Greenlaw goes down in the middle of the Super Bowl. Everything changed.
And he did it attempting to come back into the game.
Right. He runs out on the sideline and gets hit by a sniper and falls. It's like, what just happened here?
Well, case in point, look at the end of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. They were the number one seed back-to-back seasons. Best team in the NFC. Best team. People picking them to win the Super Bowl. Didn't win a playoff game. Lost at home twice after a bye. So, yes, the magic was there. Guys, you could easily have lost that Rams game. You didn't. You could have easily lost it. See, the heroism, and we get seduced by, I just have a great degree of respect for the NFL and how hard this is. And now, here's the thing. The Lions are awesome on paper. And I think Dan Campbell is as equipped, well-equipped, to focus this team. And I loved his comments today. But Rico, you know what I know. You're the hunted now.
Mm-hmm.
This hits different.
Yeah, you're the circle game, where it used to be like if you're a Lions fan, you would circle that team. Yeah. Okay, Now you're going to get everybody's best shot. They're circling you saying, oh, we got to play in Detroit. We got to bring our A game.
Yeah. So in summary, no, I'm not lying awake at night terrified because of Dave Burkett's stat. But I do consider it, and I do put some value into it. Because historically speaking, you can't fake those numbers. 248-539-9797. We'll get some phone calls coming up momentarily. All right, we'll get straight to the people. Again, Dave Burkett's stat on the day training camp opens. I don't lie awake scared of it. I don't think you're eliminated from anything. But I put value on it just because of the way the sport is. And it's going to be even harder to do what you did this year. Are you built to do it? Yes. But, yeah, I consider it. So if there's three levels of this, of no consideration, it's total crap. Some consideration, it's a little sobering. And then all out panic. Oh, my God, I'm on to 2025. Clearly, I'm not that. I'm in the middle on this. Let's get to the people. See what everybody's got to say. Jared's up next, 97.1. Hi, Jared. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Mike. How are you? I'm having a good day, and then Mike hits me with his stat, and my immediate way to process it without it ruining my day, because I think it does have merit. I think the Lions have that grit that, like, Brett Favre and White had on the Packers to win that Super Bowl. I think they do, and this ain't the Kool-Aid. This is like, because I, for what it's worth, I played back in the day. So it's like when the bullseye's on you, I think that fighter comes out in me. So if anybody on that team is a real football player, even if the bullseye's on him, that's going to make J-Mo rise. That's going to make all these guys rise. I mean, it should at least. But
yes. No, I'm not. I think you're spot on with it. And like I said, I thought it was an. And again, we started here. I'll tell you what. If you want to have a more exciting and happy day, use Odyssey.com Rewind and go to 2 o'clock, where, or 3 o'clock, because I have a surprising answer for who I think is going to become a star for your team this year. It's all positive. No scaries. It's all right, Jared.
Yeah, hey, I've just been traumatized, So it's nice to see the Lions on this road, and I'll take those real stats and I'll look them in the eye. I think the Lions can rise above that stuff, even though it is real. I think they got what it takes.
Oh, you're capable. There's no question, Jared. It's just about the historical value of it. Let's go over to Dave, 97.1. What's up, Dave?
Man, you're breaking my heart with this.
No, Dave Burkett is, not me.
No, all right, fair. But my Vikings have done this four times. The four of those 30 years are my Vikings. And the thing is, they peaked. That was their peak year. They get that far and they're dead the next year. That's not how the Lions look like. They haven't peaked yet. So I don't think this necessarily applies to them.
That's a really interesting point, actually. That if there is another gear, and that if this team with so many good players under the age of 25 can get better, maybe that's the equalizer. That's actually a very good point.
That's what I'm thinking. And it doesn't feel like they peaked. It feels like they got lucky in the one game, right? I didn't even think they'd get to the game because I didn't think they'd win the Rams game. But I think they got more in the tank. So I think and I don't see the other three, four teams that could be in better this year. I think the Lions can get better. So I think they got a good shot.
Dave, if they do that, they're going to break another trend that a listener just sent me and I had to double check. But in the modern Super Bowl history, the Lions have never had back-to-back double-digit winning seasons.
Oh, they're going to. This is the year. They're going to win 10. There's no question.
So, yeah, I mean, I, your mouth to God's ears, but yeah, I was just like, no, that can't be right, but like, wow.
Never have had back-to-back double-digit seasons.
In the Super Bowl era.
That's one, it would take a lot for them not to win 10. It would take almost as much for them not to win 10 as it would take for them to win 14. Like, yeah. I'm hearing some predictions, and I'm not busting anybody's balls. I'm just kind of like, all right, be careful now. You got people who are getting upset when hosts go on the air and they're going, well, I think 12-5. And
let it play out.
Okay, then I'll just leave it alone. We'll go to Dimitri, 97.1. What's up, Dimitri? How are you?
Hey, guys. That guy kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but I was going to say that they're really young at the key positions. And one thing he didn't mention is Jared Goff, I think, is super hungry to actually win the Super Bowl. He's been there. He knows what it's like. But I think the guy wants to win, and that's a huge factor, too. And I think another thing is that this team, it's in their DNA to do things that shouldn't be done. Like, no Lions team has won multiple playoff games since this team came along. And, you know, I just think that it's definitely something that they can crush that stat, no problem.
So you're not even worried about that Burkett stat at all?
Not unless I see a major injury to, like, Jared Goff. That would be the one thing. If he goes down, or maybe Jahmyr Gibbs or Amon, it would have to be, like, a major injury to one of their key guys.
So you,
and then I would think, you know, it's possible they could not get there.
Okay. I mean, because it's difficult to keep winning and making it all the way back to the Super Bowl. So you do need a little bit of luck to that. So they're going to be the hunted. They're no longer hunters anymore.
Versus my team, who's the homecoming opponent.
Yeah.
And you ruined me. By making me watch Hard Knocks, you made me like my team less.
I didn't tell you to
I
watch
hate Hard you. Knocks. Let's go to Scott.
I told you to watch Clipped.
97.1. Scott, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Mike, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
How does history have any bearing on what the current team's going to do versus what the past franchise has done? And before you answer, I know it's a different sport. The Detroit Red Wings have more Stanley Cups than any other American team. So by your logic, shouldn't the Red Wings be competing for a Stanley Cup?
No.
At least most of the time?
No, I think that's a bad example. What I'm saying is this stat is about teams that are already established title contenders. So that takes the Red Wings right out of it. The point is, look at how hard it is that when teams go to the Super Bowl and lose, do you know how often those teams miss the playoffs the next year? The NFL has these wild volatility swings. I don't think you're eliminated from anything, Scotty, but I value it based on in 30 years, look at how many really good football teams had designs on getting back and didn't.
Yeah.
And that's all. I just think it's an NFL thing. I don't think any other sport is like it, quite frankly.
Or just something weird. I mean, who would have thought, like, the Eagles just fell apart last year?
Great example. But no, to Scott's point, are the Lions different than the Eagles? Yes, they didn't lose their coordinators. You know, they do have a young nucleus. I do think Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are elite. So, no, Scott, I'm with you on that. It's just, I don't think I'm wrong for going, all right, that's going to be in the back of my mind a little bit. That's all.
You know what, Mike, I respect your opinion, but I have to disagree. I don't think you can use history. And I have buddies who say, like, oh, same old Lions, same old Lions. It's not the same old Lions. It's really not.
Well, I agree
totally.
We
do have a good team. Now, are they going to win the Super Bowl? I don't know, Mike. I don't know. If I did, I would be a much richer man than I am.
Well, right. Scotty, you and me would take a vacation right now if we knew that answer.
And Scotty, I think the two things are different. Like, I think there's like 6 or 7 good teams every year. Just doesn't mean you're going to make it to the Super Bowl. Like, Baltimore thought that they were a good team. They had the NFL MVP.
Well, that one's actually just if Lamar's your quarterback, you're effed. It's a different stat from David.
So now it's same old. That's not same old Lions. Like, it's just you need a little bit of element of luck.
Anyone doing SOL needs to be they need to find something new. That's an absurdity. It's so insulting to the people that have built this team.
Right. I just don't want people thinking we're saying SOL. No. We're saying you're one of the elite teams.
Oh, it could be SOL, same old league.
Right, but it's you're one of 8 teams that could win the Super Bowl, but it history just says you won't win it.
All right, so before we get you a little football today, a little college football. Interesting piece. A little over a week from the trade deadline. Next Tuesday, I believe, is the trade deadline. Evan Petzold, Flaherty, Scoobal. No, I do not believe Scoobal's getting traded. Do I want him to be? I mean, I can't answer that without seeing what Baltimore offers me. I have said to you now for probably a month, if Jackson Holliday is not the first words out of Mike Elias's mouth, I'm hanging the phone up. But the Flaherty thing, it sounds like from reports today, they are resigned to trading him, which once again makes it impossible for me to emotionally invest in the winning. Because if I'm dealing Jack Flaherty, that's my second best pitcher. And my third best pitcher is dead for at least the next couple turns through the rotation and results. So Evan Petzold specced out four prospective deals for Scooble and for Jack Flaherty. Now, I do believe, okay, here's a RICO receipt opportunity. I'll get this wrong. I think Flaherty's going to be a Dodger. Just feels like the fit, both from an organizational need and prospects. You know, a high A lottery ticket, Dodger system. You had the conversation last year. E-Rod screwed both sides. The point is, I think Flaherty's a Dodger. But let's see what Evan Petzold writes. David, take us through it.
Yeah, so they have two for Tarik Skubal, two for Flaherty. Let's start with Skubal.
All right, okay. Yeah, start with the one that's going to upset me. Let me hear it.
Skubal to Baltimore. Detroit would get Holliday, Colby Mayo, Connor Norby, and Elvin Garcia.
Where do I sign? Where do I sign?
Mm-hmm.
Are you done?
That's the proposal.
And Connor Norby is MLB.
Well, he's proposed. Evan Petzl's proposed.
Well, I love Evan Petzl, okay? That I would do that deal. I'm getting my third baseman, my shortstop. Connor Norby's an infielder who can play all over the place and is MLB ready.
Wait, maybe even first base?
Well, no, I'm going to put Cole Keith at first because he's garbage at second. Defensively, okay. Yes. He can hit, but he's not a good defensive player. Okay, I would do that deal.
Right.
Would you?
I would.
Kenny, would you?
Without even thinking about it, absolutely.
But you know what this means.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
All right, David, number two.
Because if you trade Flaherty, it means you're ending your season. And I don't think that the Tigers are ready to say the season is over.
But they don't get a choice. Go, all right,
they had a choice last year.
Well, I will give you that one next then. Since we're doing Baltimore, Jack Flaherty to Baltimore.
He went there last year. They're not going to do it again.
You would get Norby and Enrique Bradfield.
All day.
Yeah.
Okay, if they trade Flaherty for Connor Norby, you call me while I'm on vacation and I'll join you to celebrate. That would be a fleecing. Norby is a MLB-ready infielder. That'd be a fleecing.
Now, again, for people just joining in, these are Evan Petzold's proposed.
If it doesn't happen, blame Evan Petzold. Reach out on socials. Don't blame us. We did not do this.
But is he down at the headquarters?
Is Evan Petzold giving you these trades from inside the team headquarters? All right, let's go to Skubal number two.
Yes, Skubal to the Dodgers.
I'm not doing this deal.
The Detroit Tigers will receive Andy
Páez.
Páez.
I know it's spelled Pages, but it's Páez.
Miguel Vargas, Dalton Rushing, DePaula.
Ooh, DePaula the pitcher?
Yep. River Ryan,
ooh,
Alex Freeland, and Eduardo Quintero.
All right, I'm gonna tell you, I'm not ready to say yes, but that is two everyday players right now, immediately in Páez and Vargas.
Yeah,
and you're getting what, six players?
Six.
That's at least a conversation at team headquarters with my baseball people. If
seven.
Yeah, that's
a replacement pitcher in there.
That okay? Listen. I would think about that.
Because, I sound like Costa. It's value. If two of those seven hit, you win.
Your people have to project multiple guys in that deal as all-stars. And I'm not smart enough to do that. So I would at least think about it. That's the Dodgers emptying out their system.
Oh, yes, it is. So there's the one for Jack Flaherty to the Dodgers. The Tigers would get Dalton Rushing and Noah Miller.
I'll take Connor Norby. I would do Flaherty to Baltimore, Skubal to Baltimore. I would think about the Skubal Dodgers thing, although I probably end up saying no, but boy, seven players, including two everyday regulars who are pretty good.
No Yankees on there?
We don't have what it takes.
No, it's just these two teams.
Here's my offer. Everything. Whatever you want. Literally, do you want Dominguez? Do you want Spencer Jones?
But with, do you want? The Yankees feel the same way as you?
Yes. The Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. Do you see the lineup we're starting tonight against the Mets? Kenny is batting cleanup. We're an embarrassment.
I would take Javi back.
Yeah, whatever.
Part of the deal.
What did I tell you? Whatever you want.
Okay.
I'll trade you the Empire State Building.
Javi, go get
I'll trade
slice.
You my four favorite pizza places. Okay. Whatever you want. The Verrazano Bridge. Oh my God, what would you like?
Central Park.
Central Park. Totally overrated.
David, we get an authentic Sbarro's here in Detroit.
Whatever you want. It'll be just like near Mulberry Street. There'll be an Orange Julius stand that doesn't sell Orange Julius. Whatever you want, I would do. But of the four deals, there's only one hard no in there. There's two yeses and a maybe. And if you think those are awful and they upset you, take it to Petzl. Leave us out of it.
Again, this is Evan Petzl's mock trades. Send all feedback.
You can eat, and you can reach out to Evan at epetzl@icausetrouble.com. Leave us out of it. Too close to vacation. But listen. I don't believe when I see you on August 5th that Scooble's going to be in an Orioles uniform. I don't. And again, deadlines make deals. People don't, right? So my point is, as you get closer to this, that's where Baltimore, if they're really desperate, right, they can't get Crochet, they don't land an arm they like, maybe then and only then does the war chest open.
But at least with Flaherty, you take no stock in what AJ said. I think on the morning show, he wants the Tigers to be buyers.
Managers always say that.
Okay.
I'm not mad at AJ for saying it. He's not going to go on the air and be like, hey, I sure would like to manage garbage. No, he's like, I want to buy. I want to win. Saying,
but I wonder how much is he in Scott's ear. Like, hey, you break this team up and you may be breaking up something that could potentially be special this year and making the playoffs, not winning a World Series. But, Mike, they're hot right now. They're winning games. Yes. You owe me an apology.
No. No, I don't. David, ticket text. You're yelling at me to break. I mean, what's the panic? We have the big finish. What's the problem? Okay, we'll get you to Tiger Baseball tonight. Bybee, Flaherty. Only thing I can tell you is, Jack, just please let the spinal column hold up. And this is, if the Tigers have a brain, this is the Flaherty's last start here. I mean, I just don't think it's insane to say that within 48 hours of the trade deadline, you shouldn't be starting him. So this could be your last start with Flaherty.
Unless you feel like you have a team that can win the wild card.
All right. I'm
not trying to be funny, Mike. It's just.
If I can get, hey, David promised me Connor Norby.
You just want the team to just, you want them to tank last week instead of winning so many games so that they would be like 10 games out of the wild card so it takes it off the table.
David, hit the damn big finish, will you please?
Well, yes, I'll David. Start with that since you did that because Kenny didn't listen earlier on your horse choice and he missed out on a 10-1 bet.
I gave him a horse that on the morning line was 10-1. I tell him, listen, if you're going to bet a horse today, bet this. My favorite play of the day. Just go ahead. He's like, I want to bet something today. This idiot ends up betting Olympic soccer, doesn't take the horse. The horse goes and wins for fun and pays $14 on a $2 bet.
Hey, Iraq won me some good money, all right?
Congrats. You're a disgrace. All right, let's move it along.
He is a disgrace. Let's get back to the Tigers here because we discussed them. We open up the show with, who will the Tigers trade ahead of the deadline? Rico believes they trade no one.
I just don't think, David, they're going to do anything because this team believes that if they keep the band together, that we could compete for that final wild card spot. If you get rid of somebody, you're essentially throwing in the towel and waving the white flag and saying the season is over. And that to me is everything that Scott Harris is not with this team. He believes this team is a lot better than what it is.
And then we discuss the mock trades that Evan Petzl put together on the Freet on his article this morning. And one, Tarik Skubal to Baltimore had us, the Tigers getting Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, and
All right. So before we get you a little football today, a little college football. Interesting piece. A little over a week from the trade deadline. Next Tuesday, I believe, is the trade deadline. Evan Petzold, Flaherty, Scoobal. No, I do not believe Scoobal's getting traded. Do I want him to be? I mean, I can't answer that without seeing what Baltimore offers me. I have said to you now for probably a month, if Jackson Holliday is not the first words out of Mike Elias's mouth, I'm hanging the phone up. But the Flaherty thing, it sounds like from reports today, they are resigned to trading him, which once again makes it impossible for me to emotionally invest in the winning. Because if I'm dealing Jack Flaherty, that's my second best pitcher. And my third best pitcher is dead for at least the next couple turns through the rotation and results. So Evan Petzold specced out four prospective deals for Scoobal and for Jack Flaherty. Now, I do believe, okay, here's a RICO receipt opportunity. I'll get this wrong. I think Flaherty's going to be a Dodger. Just feels like the fit, both from an organizational need and prospects. You know, a high A lottery ticket, Dodger system. You had the conversation last year. Erod screwed both sides. The point is, I think Flaherty's a Dodger. But let's see what Evan Petzold writes. David, take us through it.
Yeah, so they have two for Tarik Skubal, two for Flaherty. Let's start with Skubal.
All right, okay. Yeah, start with the one that's going to upset me. Let me hear it.
Skubal to Baltimore. Detroit would get Holliday, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, and Elvin Garcia.
Where do I sign? Where do I sign?
Mm-hmm.
Are you done?
That's the proposal.
And Connor Norby is MLB.
He's proposed. Evan Petzl's proposed.
Well, I love Evan Petzl, okay? That I would do that deal. I'm getting my third baseman, my shortstop. Connor Norby's an infielder who can play all over the place and is MLB ready.
Wait, maybe even first base?
Well, no, I'm going to put Cole Keith at first because he's garbage at second. Defensively, okay. Yes. He can hit, but he's not a good defensive player. Okay, I would do that deal.
Right.
Would you?
I would.
Kenny, would you?
Without even thinking about it, absolutely.
But you know what this means.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
All right, David, number two.
Because if you trade Flaherty, it means you're ending your season. And I don't think that the Tigers are ready to say the season is over.
But they don't get a choice. Go, all right,
they had a choice last year.
Well, I will give you that one next then. Since we're doing Baltimore, Jack Flaherty to Baltimore.
He went there last year. They're not going to do it again.
You would get Norby and Enrique Bradfield.
All day.
Yeah.
Okay. If they trade Flaherty for Connor Norby, you call me while I'm on vacation and I'll join you to celebrate. That would be a fleecing. Norby is a MLB-ready infielder. That'd be a fleecing.
Now, again, for people just joining in, these are Evan Petzold's proposed.
If it doesn't happen, blame Evan Petzold. Reach out on socials. Don't blame us. We did not do this.
But is he down at the headquarters?
Is Evan Petzold giving you these trades from inside the team headquarters? All right, let's go to Scoobal number two.
Yes, Scoobal to the Dodgers.
I'm not doing this deal.
The Detroit Tigers will receive Andy
Páez.
Páez.
I know it's spelled Pages, but it's Páez.
Miguel Vargas, Dalton Rushing, DePaula.
Ooh, DePaula the pitcher?
Yep. River Ryan.
Ooh.
Alex Freeland and Eduardo Quintero.
All right. I'm gonna tell you, I'm not ready to say yes, but that is two everyday players right now, immediately in Páez and Vargas.
Yeah.
And you're getting what, six players?
Six.
That's at least a conversation at team headquarters with my baseball people. If
seven. Seven.
Yeah,
a replacement pitcher in there.
That okay. Listen, I would think about that.
Because I sound like Costa. It's value. If two of those seven hit, you win.
Your people have to project multiple guys in that deal as all-stars. And I'm not smart enough to do that. So I would at least think about it. That's the Dodgers emptying out their system.
Oh, yes, it is. So there's the one for Jack Flaherty to the Dodgers. The Tigers would get Dalton Rushing and Noah Miller.
I'll take Connor Norby. I would do Flaherty to Baltimore, Scoobal to Baltimore. I would think about the Scooble Dodgers thing, although I probably end up saying no, but boy, seven players, including two everyday regulars who are pretty good.
No Yankees on there?
We don't have what it takes.
No, it's just these two teams.
Here's
two
my players. Here's my offer. Everything. Whatever you want. Literally, do you want Dominguez? Do you want Spencer Jones?
But with what do you want? The Yankees feel the same way as you?
Yes. The Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. Do you see the lineup we're starting tonight against the Mets? Kenny is batting cleanup. We're an embarrassment.
I would take Javi back.
Yeah, whatever.
Part of the deal.
What did I tell you? Whatever you want.
Okay.
I'll trade you the Empire State Building.
Javi, go get
I'll trade you my four favorite pizza places. Okay. Whatever you want. The Verrazano Bridge. Oh my God, what would you like?
Central Park, totally overrated.
David, we get an authentic Sbarro's here in Detroit.
Right, whatever you want. It'll be just like near Mulberry Street, where there'll be an Orange Julius stand that doesn't sell Orange Julius. Whatever you want, I would do. But no, of the four deals, there's only one hard no in there. There's two yeses and a maybe. And if you think those are awful and they upset you, take it to Petzl. Leave us out of it.
Again, this is Evan Petzl's mock trades. Send all feedback.
You can eat, and you can reach out to Evan at epetzl@icausetrouble.com. Leave us out of it. Too close to vacation. But no, I mean, listen. I don't believe when I see you on August 5th that Scooble's going to be in an Orioles uniform. I don't. And again, deadlines make deals. People don't, right? So my point is, as you get closer to this, that's where Baltimore, if they're really desperate, right, they can't get Crochet, they don't land an arm they like, maybe then and only then does the war chest open.
But at least with Flaherty, you take no stock in what AJ said. I think on the morning show, he wants the Tigers to be buyers.
Managers always say that.
Okay.
I'm not mad at AJ for saying it. He's not going to go on the air and be like, hey, I sure would like to manage garbage. No, he's like, I want to buy. I want to win. Saying,
but I wonder how much is he in Scott's ear. Like, hey, you break this team up and you may be breaking up something that could potentially be special this year and making the playoffs, not winning a World Series. But, Mike, they're hot right now. They're winning games. Yes. You owe me an apology.
No. No, I don't. David, ticket text. You're yelling at me to break. I mean, what's the panic? We have the big finish. What's the problem? Okay, we'll get you to Tiger Baseball tonight. Bybee, Flaherty. Only thing I can tell you is, Jack, just please let the spinal column hold up. And this is, if the Tigers have a brain, this is the Flaherty's last start here. I mean, I don't think it's insane to say that within 48 hours of the trade deadline, you shouldn't be starting him. So this could be your last start with Flaherty.
Unless you feel like you have a team that can win the wild card.
All right. I'm
not trying to be funny, Mike. It's just,
if I can get, hey, David promised me Connor Norby.
You just want the team to just, you want them to tank last week instead of winning so many games so that they would be like 10 games out of the wild card, so it takes it off the table.
David, hit the damn big finish, will you please?
Well, yes, I'll start with that since you did that, because Kenny didn't listen earlier on your horse choice, and he missed out on a 10-1 bet.
I gave him a horse that on the morning line was 10-1. I tell him, listen, if you're going to bet a horse today, bet this. My favorite play of the day. Just go ahead. He's like, I want to bet something today. This idiot ends up betting Olympic soccer, doesn't take the horse. The horse goes and wins for fun and pays $14 on a $2 bet.
Hey, Iraq won me some good money, all right?
Congrats. You're a disgrace. All right, let's move it along.
He is a disgrace. Let's get back to the Tigers here because we discussed them. We open up the show with, who will the Tigers trade ahead of the deadline? Rico believes they trade no one.
I just don't think, David, they're going to do anything, because this team believes that if they keep the band together, that we could compete for that final wild card spot. If you get rid of somebody, you're essentially throwing in throwing in the towel and waving the white flag and saying the season is over. And that to me is everything that Scott Harris is not with this team. He believes this team is a lot better than what it is.
And then we discuss the mock trades that Evan Petzl put together on the Freet on his article this morning. And one, Tarik Skubal to Baltimore had us, the Tigers getting Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, and Elvin Garcia. That is one that Mike liked. The other one that Mike liked was Jack Flaherty to Baltimore, where the Tigers would receive Norby and Enrique Bradfield.
I would do the first deal all day, every day. I mean, please. Amazing.
That is amazing. What is interesting, I wouldn't say amazing, but what's interesting is Rico found a stat here or something on the Pistons that the over is being bet hard for the Detroit Pistons. The over-under is 24.5 right now.
Over-under,
everyone's going over.
95% of the bets, 97% of the money is on the Pistons to win over 24.5 games this season, according to BetMGM.
Feels too easy.
Feels very easy.
Which means it's not. That's the Vegas boogeyman. I don't care what anybody says. When the odds makers put that out there, and they're going to keep taking action on it, and that number's not going to go up. That terrifies me. I don't know that they'll be that good. I sure hope they are, but let us not forget, you could hit this bet and still lose the better part of 58 basketball games. Like,
that's the sad reality.
The hell are we talking about?
What we're talking about is we had a review of the drop tournament from yesterday. Cat Williams, no. Won the tournament, and Kenny created his own drop again in the tournament. He apparently wants to get rid of black jobs. Kenny, speak for yourself. Are you proud of yourself?
This has become the Iserman 2.0, okay? This is going to haunt me for months and
forever.
Months to come.
No, you actually said that. This wasn't taken out of context. You actually said
that. I was instructing David to remove the black jobs drop from the bracket. That's what I was doing.
That's not what you said.
That isn't what I heard, Kenny.
All right, use that OU education. Use your big boy words.
What I heard was you stabbed me right in the back. You stabbed Rico right in the back. Hey. And you just said. So I completely understand where you start. When you're saying that.
So when you get back from Sarasota, it's Mike and the Cone from 2 to 6.
Kenny succeeded in his mission of getting rid of said jobs.
Remarkable. Yes, that is one thing. We talked about MSU for a quick second off of the college football blitz here. The Big Ten media rankings were coming in, and Michigan State's at 16. And Mike believes that if you win 3 to 4 games, that is ridiculous.
And it's just
hold up shop.
In the era of NIL and the portal, you know, at a place like Michigan State, which it is not Michigan or Georgia or Clemson or places like that, it is a top 25 program. It is inexcusable to waltz in the door with ample NIL and enough to pay your quarterback $1 million. And for me as a fan, to sit there and tolerate 4-8. Like, if you can't go 6-6, 7-5, just rubble the stadium. Create an ice rink or something. I don't know. And a green space.
I mean, I get what you're saying, Mike. You want to see progress, but guy is starting with zero.
Ready?
Ready?
You don't care.
Why? I don't know what you want me to say.
Nothing. I just, let's hope that the Big Ten media poll is wrong.
That's all you got to hope for here.
Well, here's the good news, Mike. Big Ten media poll has predicted Ohio State to win the Big Ten the last 3 years in a row.
Huh, I wonder what happened.
You cheated, and you won it.
I knew that was coming.
Well, just live with it.
And we'll close it out here with the Detroit Lions. One positive, one negative. The positive is Mike believes that J-Mo is going to be the guy to take the leap for the offensive side. Not just Mike, the entire show believes that he's going to take that leap. And then the negative, the Dave Burkett stat that no team that has lost the NFC Championship game since 96 has gone on to win the Super Bowl.
I think it just speaks to the overriding toxicity and negativity of Dave Burkett. Honestly, I think that's really what it is. I'm kidding. We love Dave. But it's a power stat, and it's something to consider. All right.
Buddy, go enjoy yourself.
Oh, we will. It's going to be exciting.
Bet on the gray horses.
They're genetically faster. Tiger Baseball is next. Okay, we'll get you to Tiger Baseball tonight. Bybee, Flaherty. Only thing I can tell you is, Jack, just please let the spinal column hold up. And this is, if the Tigers have a brain, this is the Flaherty's last start here. I mean, I don't think it's insane to say that within 48 hours of the trade deadline, you shouldn't be starting him. So this could be your last start with Flaherty.
Unless you feel like you have a team that can win the wild card.
All right.
I'm not trying to be funny, Mike. It's just.
If I can get, hey, David promised me Connor Norby.
You just want the team to just, you want them to tank last week instead of winning so many games so that they would be like 10 games out of the wild card so it takes it off the table.
David, hit the damn big finish, will you please?
Well, yes, I'll start with that since you did that, because Kenny didn't listen earlier on your horse choice, and he missed out on a 10-1 bet.
I gave him a horse that on the morning line was 10-1. I tell him, listen, if you're going to bet a horse today, bet this. My favorite play of the day. Just go ahead. He's like, I want to bet something today. This idiot ends up betting Olympic soccer, doesn't take the horse. The horse goes and wins for fun and pays $14 on a $2 bet.
Hey, Iraq won me some good money, all right?
Congrats. You're a disgrace. All right, let's move it along.
He is a disgrace. Let's get back to the Tigers here because we discussed them. We open up the show with, who will the Tigers trade ahead of the deadline? Rico believes they trade no one.
I just don't think, David, they're going to do anything because this team believes that if they keep the band together, that we could compete for that final wild card spot. If you get rid of somebody, you're essentially throwing in the towel and waving the white flag and saying the season is over. And that to me is everything that Scott Harris is not with this team. He believes this team is a lot better than what it is.
And then we discuss the mock trades that Evan Petzl put together on the Freet on his article this morning. And one, Tarik Skubal to Baltimore had us, the Tigers getting Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, and Elvin Garcia. That is one that Mike liked. The other one that Mike liked was Jack Flaherty to Baltimore, where the Tigers would receive Norby and Enrique Bradfield.
I would do the first deal all day, every day. I mean, please. Amazing.
That is amazing. What is interesting, I wouldn't say amazing, but what's interesting is Rico found a stat here or something on the Pistons that the over is being bet hard for the Detroit Pistons. The over-under is 24.5 right now.
Over-under,
everyone's going over.
95% of the bets, 97% of the money is on the Pistons to win over 24.5 games this season, according to BetMGM.
Feels too easy.
Feels very
easy. Means it's not. That's the Vegas boogeyman. I don't care what anybody says. When the odds makers put that out there, and they're going to keep taking action on it, and that number's not going to go up. That terrifies me. I don't know that they'll be that good. I sure hope they are, but let us not forget, you could hit this bet and still lose the better part of 58 basketball games. Like,
that's the sad reality.
The hell are we talking about?
What we're talking about is we had a review of the drop tournament from yesterday. Cat Williams, no. Won the tournament, and Kenny created his own drop again in the tournament. He apparently wants to get rid of black jobs. Kenny, speak for yourself. Are you proud of yourself?
This has become the Iserman 2.0, okay? This is going to haunt me for months and
forever.
Months to come.
No, you actually said that. This wasn't taken out of context. You actually said
that. I was instructing David to remove the black jobs drop from the bracket. That's what I was doing.
That's not what you said.
That isn't what I heard, Kenny.
All right, use that OU education. Use your big boy words.
What I heard was you stabbed me right in the back. You stabbed Rico right in the back. Right. And you just said. So I completely understand where you start, where you stand now.
So when you get back from Sarasota, it's Mike and the Cone from 2 to 6.
Kenny succeeded in his mission, right, getting rid of said jobs.
Remarkable. Yes, that is one thing. We talked about MSU for a quick second off of the college football blitz here. The Big Ten media rankings were coming in, and Michigan State's at 16. And Mike believes that if you win 3 to 4 games, that is ridiculous.
And it just
hold up shop
in the era of NIL and the portal. You know, at a place like Michigan State, which it is not Michigan or Georgia or Clemson or places like that. It is a top 25 program. It is inexcusable to waltz in the door with ample NIL and enough to pay your quarterback $1 million. And for me as a fan, to sit there and tolerate 4-8. Like, if you can't go 6-6, 7-5, just rubble the stadium. Create an ice rink or something. I don't know. And a green space.
I mean, I get what you're saying, Mike. You want to see progress, but guy is starting with zero.
Ready?
You don't care.
Why?
I don't know what you want me to say.
Nothing. I just, let's hope that the Big Ten media poll is wrong.
That's all you got to hope for here.
Well, here's the good news, Mike. Big Ten media poll has predicted Ohio State to win the Big Ten the last 3 years in a row.
Huh, I wonder what happened.
You cheated, and you won it.
I knew that was coming.
Well, just live with it.
And we'll close it out here with the Detroit Lions. One positive, one negative. The positive is Mike believes that J-Mo is going to be the guy to take the leap for the offensive side. Not just Mike, the entire show believes that he's going to take that leap. And then the negative, the Dave Burkett stat. That no team that has lost the NFC Championship game since 96 has gone on to win the Super Bowl.
I think it just speaks to the overriding toxicity and negativity of Dave Burkett, honestly. I think that's really what it is. I'm kidding. We love Dave. But it's a power stat, and it's something to consider. All right.
Buddy, go enjoy yourself.
Oh, we will. It's going to be exciting.
Bet on the gray horses.
They're genetically faster. Tiger baseball is next.